This is KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.
At the Chopped Open Your Basket Challenge, four finalists of the Art Institute's Chopped Scholarship Competition compete to earn a $40,000 scholarship to an Art Institute school. Today's mystery ingredients are veal T-bone, queso blanco, My Fun Noodles, and collard greens. With 60 minutes to create a global entree, dishes will be judged on taste, presentation, and creativity.
Time's up.
That opener for the Food Network show Chopped is an intense way to discover what it's like to open a bag of food and have to make dinner with whatever is in there. For the almost 300,000 residents of the Central Coast who receive food from the food banks in Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara counties, that's what it can feel like. But there's help. Imagine playing with food as your job. I met up with the nutrition program manager at the Food Bank of Slo County, whose job it is to develop tasty and nutritious recipes from the food that is distributed through the food bank. She let me follow her from the grocery bag to the stove to the distribution center. Assisting her were volunteers Anna and Elizabeth and nutritionist intern Emily. Here's how it went.
Melissa Danahay. I am the nutrition program manager with the Slo County Food Bank. I also oversee the Children's Farmers Market program. We realize that nutrition and nutrition outreach is really important for this group that we serve. We look at some of the items that they're receiving in their bags and come up with recipes, healthy recipes that use those ingredients, and bring them out to our distribution. So while people are waiting in line, they get to try healthy samples and then take home copies of the recipe as well as take nutrition materials home with them to share with their families. And just to give them, you know, tips to make their cooking easier at home. We realize they are busy, they might have kids, and it's actually not really that hard to, as long as you plan ahead of time and have your recipes to work with, you can really kind of maximize that time and still eat really well. So this morning we are preparing a recipe and it will be going out to our Oceano Family Resource Center distribution. We typically serve between 60 and 80 households at that distribution. And this is a recipe that we've been making over the past 2 weeks. It is a wonderful recipe. I've received great feedback and it's actually a take on pad thai, using a lot of the things that they will be getting or get pretty often in their bags. So we're using whole wheat spaghetti instead of the rice noodles, which is traditionally used. We're using peanut butter, which is something that they get every month in their commodities bag. We tweaked it to where we're using items that they might already have in their pantry, so they don't need to go and buy fish sauce and all of these other ingredients. And we'll be using the produce that they're receiving out in the distribution today. They are already receiving this whole wheat spaghetti. There's always at least like one whole wheat pasta in our bags, usually every month when people visit. So we know that it's already available to them. Because of the fiber and the nutrients, it keeps you full for longer. Whole wheat is always the better option to go. If you can't make everything you eat whole wheat, at least half of what you eat should be. We do have a nutrition policy that we try to follow because we know that this low-income population, they are at highest risk for nutrition-related chronic disease. And so we do prioritize focusing on their health. While it's great to provide food too, we want to make sure that they're healthy and well-nourished. So we'll start by washing our hands. And I've kind of laid out all of the ingredients that we need, and I have the recipe set out for you.
This show is called Playing with Food, and that's what you're doing. You're basically getting to play with food for a job, right?
Yes, I love it. I've always been very interested in being in the kitchen ever since I was very young. I thoroughly enjoy being in the kitchen. And I'm trying to kind of make those connections with people and kind of open their minds to other ideas. You know, I've had comments before of people are like, oh, I don't get it. Like, most people know how to cook, right? You'd be surprised. A lot of people don't. And they lack those basic skills in the kitchen. And so that's kind of where I come in. And I show them recipes that are easy, that are culturally relevant. It's really important to kind of have these when you're selecting and planning recipes, to have something that they are likely to make that appeals to them.
Have you ever been given a bag of food where you've just thought, I have no idea what to do with this?
No, hasn't happened to me yet. But I'm a special case. I'm pretty savvy. Food insecurity is not being sure of where your next meal will be coming from. And it's actually very present even in our own community. A lot of people don't realize a lot of families here, our neighbors, are struggling for with hunger. It's just one of those things that it's hard to ask for help. And so we kind of make it easier to serve all of our clients by going out to all of our local communities, partnering with other agencies so that they can get food out as well, and just making it more accessible to those who need it. I think one issue that we're facing in our county is the cost of living is continuing to increase, but a lot of the pay has not matched that. And so we have a lot of what we call the working poor, where there might be two parents, but they're not able to make ends meet by what they're making. So I'm pulling out all of the produce for the recipe, and you'll see on the card, I kind of gave flexibility. I said it calls for basically 2 to 3 cups of chopped fresh veggies, whatever people have in their refrigerator. And we have been giving out Napa cabbage from Tally Farms. They've actually donated a lot of Napa cabbage to us. And I thought this was a great one to kind of incorporate into this recipe. Napa cabbage is very surprisingly nutritious. People don't realize how nutritious it is. It's rated pretty high. It's actually more nutritious than kale. And it is grown locally in our county, but a lot of people look at this and they don't know how to use it. I know Koreans use it for kimchi. And other than that, you know, it can be tricky, but I treat it like regular cabbage. I think it does a great job adding a little bit more to this recipe.
Okay, so yeah, here's the recipe card. You have everything you need, and I'll let you kind of work through the steps.
Okay.
I always like to see outside people make the recipe and make sure it's like simple ones. We have bowls here. I've got a pot to boil the pasta. And so are you working on the sauce first?
Yeah.
Okay. While you work on the sauce, I can boil the pasta
measuring,
for you.
Measuring
They're all in here. Crazy about labels. Everything's labeled.
So you're washing the vegetables now?
Correct. Okay. This is to get out the dirt that might have been in while it was transported here.
There's nothing worse than that one piece of grit in your salad, is it?
Now when somebody visits our distribution, they'll get about a 10-pound bag of dry goods. And in there will be regular size cans of tomato sauce, maybe some canned veggies, canned fruit, some dried beans, canned beans, rice. I think this month they're getting brown rice, a bag of brown rice, and some whole wheat pasta. I believe this month we are giving out canned salmon.
So what vegetables have you decided to put in today?
Carrots, that's a pretty staple item that we do give out pretty consistently. We're using some bell pepper and the Napa cabbage. I'm going to add some leeks to it because this is something that we give out every once in a while too, because we do glean it from some local farmers. A lot of people might look at a leek and they have no clue, and I kind of tell them to treat it like a big green onion. It's just a little bit milder, and I think this will be really nice in this recipe.
I noticed that you peeled the carrots.
I did. It's not completely necessary if you are rinsing it really well. I'm more so doing it for aesthetics, so I want the recipe to be really pretty too and visually appealing because they are sampling it, and I'm trying to encourage them to make it, so I want to make sure that it looks really good too.
But you don't have to peel carrots, do you?
You don't have to if you do give them a good rinse and a scrub. And a lot of people, I actually heard from one of our clients that she was under the misconception that you have to wash it with dish soap. She was washing all of her produce with dish soap. You really don't have to. Cold water does a really good job as long as you're really actively kind of scrubbing at it.
So my boyfriend is a chef, and we have had an argument about carrots because if you peel them, it texturally changes them and isn't as appealing. It doesn't have as good of a mouthfeel if you don't peel them. But it takes away a little bit of nutrient value because there's some good fiber and nutrients in that outer shell there.
So you want the nutrition and he wants the beauty and the mouthfeel.
Absolutely.
I never really noticed the difference between the mouthfeel.
See, I don't really notice it either, but I don't have that beautiful chef taste bud.
Okay.
I never realized that carrots peeled or not is such a polarizing topic. I had no clue.
I personally don't have any qualms with the mouthfeel of an unpeeled carrot.
And the next step is going to be starting to cook some of the veggies. I think the carrots should go in first because they always take longer to cook. And we'll throw carrots in and saute them in a little bit of olive oil. And then start adding in the other vegetables. And once they are semi-cooked, we'll add the sauce. And then simmer the sauce and then throw the whole dish together.
The spatula.
Oh, I can get you another one, but that's the olive oil. Do you want to use that to saute?
We're going to be sauteing the carrots first.
So we do prioritize like offering those foods that might not be as accessible, that might be a little bit more costly. Half that goes out is fresh produce because we are in this county where there is a lot of agriculture and we have year-round growing. So we really kind of tap into that resource by partnering with people who have like fruit trees in their backyards and also large-scale farmers. I don't know if you're familiar with our program, Glean Slow. So this is with the food bank, and basically they go out and find those farmers who are willing to donate some of their crop. And then we're able to turn around it and distribute it immediately. What's really great about our county is we have a wide variety of different produce that's grown here and a lot of unique produce. So that's where nutrition education is also really important because people will get things like bok choy. What else have we seen that's pretty unfamiliar? Kohlrabi. That was one that even I had to learn what that was. And so what we do is look at those things, know where it's going, and then come up with a recipe that people will enjoy. And we've noticed that there's a big difference between someone just looking at a recipe, like, hey, you can make this, and actually seeing it and trying it. I think they're more likely to actually produce that at home when they actually get a taste of it and see what it's like. Or maybe a parent is thinking, my kid won't like this, but then the kid tries it and they witness firsthand, like, oh, actually, he enjoyed it. Okay, I will make that recipe. So then they don't have to worry about the waste. It is a blow to your ego to have to wait in line for food. I think Food Bank does a really good job in being very almost like customer focused. When you come to our site, you'll see our volunteers helping people out to their cars, offering carts to make it easier for them. And this is all a big part of that too, to be able to be provided a service of like, here's a sample of a food, here's a recipe, here's some materials. Do you have any questions for us? While they're waiting in line, because waiting in line for food is hard to do. It takes a lot from you. It's also a factor in how we choose our recipes. You know, I'll never make a recipe that has truffle oil or any of these things. I'm looking for what they already have in their pantries and what we're giving out to make it available to them.
So what ingredients do we have here?
In the sauce, we're going to be adding chicken stock, soy sauce, brown sugar, peanut butter, freshly squeezed lemon or lime juice, vinegar, hot sauce, garlic, and fresh ginger.
Are you a frequent volunteer to the food bank?
No, I'm not a frequent volunteer, but I am trying to come here more often. I have not been in the kitchen before, but I have been in the warehouse doing other work.
So Anna, you've got this murky thing with this iceberg of peanut butter in the middle of it.
Yes.
How are you gonna mix that up?
We're gonna whisk it together.
Okay.
We're using powdered garlic and ginger. So that's another thing is I did include an option. I know that a lot of people don't have fresh ginger available in their house. So there is a measurement for if you're using powdered ginger as an alternative, and same thing with garlic too.
So you got all those ingredients in there now, and you're whisking them up.
Do you need more lime?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. These limes are actually from a backyard glean. We're in citrus season, so we're seeing a lot of lemons and limes and grapefruit and oranges and tangerines.
Right, so your sauce is done then.
Yeah.
And it's got these little floaters in it. What are those?
Those are peanuts.
We use crunchy peanut butter.
when you're concerned about nutrition and you're relying on donations, do you make sure that the peanut butter is as low sugar as possible?
When we are able to purchase, we do try to look for a great product that, yeah, doesn't have a lot of added sugar. But we don't really have too much of a say of what donations come in, so we do make requests to the community and try to educate them on what we're looking for.
You gonna squeeze that?
Yep, squeeze that, lemon.
Getting a hand workout.
You know, if you don't have a juicer, you can use a pair of pliers.
Really?
Yeah. And a friend of mine uses her teeth. She'll bite the end of it and squeeze the last bit of juice out of that lime into a cocktail. Does this also give them a sense of joy because you're teaching them how to make something that they would get in a restaurant, but they're able to make it at home?
Yeah, or just making recipes that are outside of their normal routine, you know, to kind of incorporate new ideas and topics. So I think this pad thai is really nice because it's kind of an Asian inspired, but it has basic ingredients that are very easy to get or they already have. Another recipe that kind of opens people's eyes is we sample a black bean brownie. So it is a brownie that is flour free, has very little sugar, and it's made with black beans. And it always kind of blows people's minds out there. They're like, either this is made with beans and this is dessert. So just little ideas like that and tips to kind of get them outside of what they normally do.
So you say we eat with our eyes. Is that an issue with your clients when you're taking out these dishes? Do people come, or maybe even children come and look at the dish that you've spent, you know, a month creating and go, ooh.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. That's definitely a huge factor when I am selecting recipes. And that's also why I've kind of selected these vegetables too. I'm looking for bright colors, things that will catch their eye. And when we are out, we're actually going to sprinkle some fresh cilantro on top and offer a lime wedge. And I think that'll really draw them to it. So this is the pasta going into the boiling water. And we'll boil that for about 8 minutes or so.
I noticed you also have a stove that is like you would have in any house, particularly in a rented house. You don't have some really fancy induction stove or commercial gas stove.
No, not at all. Yeah. And actually, we look for donations when it comes to things like this. And I believe that this was donated to us as well as the countertops.
So what other food banks do you know on the Central Coast who have test kitchens and actually take out samples?
I know it's becoming more prevalent where a lot of food banks and pantries are starting to get on board. So I know that Santa Barbara County Food Bank has a nutrition education program as well. They do have a kids farmers market also. But yeah, I think it's a growing thing. People are realizing how important it is. It's a form of preventative medicine, really, to keep these people happy and healthy, to help them thrive. We do offer other services. So not only do we provide nutrition education direct at our distributions, but we do accept requests from the community for cooking classes and lessons. And we partner with our schools as well. So yesterday, Emily and I were at a preschool, so adorable, and we were teaching them about sugar and drinking sugar and maybe reconsidering how much sugar they are drinking and consuming, and we made an infused water together. So we had the kids cutting strawberries and cucumbers and then infusing water, and then they were able to drink it afterwards, and it went really well. They did great. The berry water was more popular for sure. They had a lot of fun getting involved. And we've noticed with kids when they are involved in hands-on, they're more likely to be more receptive to trying the recipe and enjoying it because they played a part in it.
Right.
So we're adding the sauce. And you'll notice the sauce will thicken after a few minutes. And that's when you know it's ready.
When do you put the cabbage in?
Maybe once the sauce starts to thicken, we'll add the cabbage in there. I don't want it to overcook.
Nothing worse than slimy cabbage.
The vegetables in the sauce are currently brought to a boil. They're being cooked inside the sauce right now.
So she was right, the sauce is kind of thickening up a bit. One of the things I think is amazing about food is that we had two countertops full of food that is all now in one pot.
Yeah.
Speaking of one pot, you only used one pot, mm-hmm. Right?
We did. Yeah, we did. We used the same pot for the pasta and the veggies.
So how are you going to fit the noodles in the pot? Because the pot's really full.
I'm thinking we might have to split it up into two.
I mean, it might fit. If we use a big tong, we could make it fit.
It smells really good. Here's the moment of truth. Is the pot big enough?
Will it fit? Ready. And I guess this is a one pot because the noodles are actually taking in that sauce, soaking it up.
There we go. Do we get to taste it?
Oh, absolutely.
What kind of person would I be if I didn't?
There you go.
Hey, here's the CEO.
Father, thank you, thank you. Please hold your applause till the end. Kevin Drabinski, CEO of the Food Bank of San Luis Obispo, and happy to have you here, Father.
Well, you walked in just at the right time. We're about ready to try this creation that Melissa and Anna and Elizabeth have worked on. Are you going to taste it with us?
Naturally.
I believe Kevin's already seen this recipe and tried it.
It's good. It's really nice. I like the peanut butter. It's not too peanut buttery. The vegetables are still have a little crunch to them. And the spaghetti, I like the whole wheat spaghetti. I like whole wheat spaghetti, though. And it's not really mushy and pasty. So, Anna, what do you think of your creation?
It's pretty good. Better than I thought it would taste, actually.
Would you make it in the dorms?
Probably not, because buying ingredients is kind of hard for me. But if I do have a chance, I would make it again.
What do you think, nutritionist?
I think it's delicious. I think after it set just a little bit, too, it'd be even better.
Elizabeth, you weren't going to try it. What do you think?
I'm glad I tried it. Very nice. I think families will enjoy it.
And I arrived just in time to have a little bite and help with the dishes, so... Perfect.
Preparing the recipe with Melissa, Emily, Anna, and Elizabeth was a lot of fun. I then spoke to the food bank CEO about the importance of this type of program.
Our nutrition policy drives everything we do. So at a typical distribution, you're going to get a 15 to 20 pound bag of shelf-stable product that's low sugar, low salt, high protein, and a 15 to 20 pound bag of fresh produce. Out of the 5 million pounds of food that we were able to distribute in 2017, half of that was fresh produce. We want to make dense those moments of distribution, give people healthy choices, give them education like Melissa does for how to prepare meals off of the ingredients that are being handed out that day, in hopes that they adopt those habits that let them eat better and manage any chronic diseases they might have. We're partners in building a healthier community. I think play is close to the essence of being human, right? It's one of the things that activates many healthful things in us. When food enters a home, so it provides a kind of security, knowing that your bases are covered for your meals for the next few days, and you might be able to stretch things out. I think the human art of being in the kitchen and preparing meals draws us together in a special way, attacks all of our senses, invites us into smells and feelings and conversations that we might not have in another place in the house. And I think that that playfulness then is expressed through the meal that gets prepared, and then a lot of positive things happen. That's a wonderful goal of the food bank efforts, when families can sit around a table together across a meal and disclose who they are to each other. That generates a kind of sense of well-being that people can carry on for many, many years in their life.
The Food Bank of Santa Barbara County is the parent organization for the SLO Food Bank. I spoke with CEO Eric Tolkien, who is addressing food insecurity in a place you wouldn't think it existed.
For us, the food is just the beginning to what we do. Yes, we are called the Food Bank. We distribute 10 million pounds of food in our county every year, but we really use that as a tool to leverage a more meaningful relationship with people that we work with. So our whole interest is in promoting something called food literacy. So we know that if you're illiterate or innumerate, you go through life basically with one hand tied behind your back. And being food illiterate, exactly the same. So by food illiteracy, I mean not having the skills to be able to plan, to budget, to shop, to cook, and to store that food. If you have those skills, then they allow you to kind of ride out times of having less money for food because you know what to do. You can focus on the healthiest stuff. You can cook stuff, put it a lot of it, put it in the fridge or the freezer, and have those meals extend over a period of time. So really, really feel that if we can give people those skills, then they can really be much more food secure than they would be if they were purely relying on food that was given to them from a pantry. You know, there are two types of people in the world, those who follow recipes and those who don't. There's a lot of people who watch TV and cooking shows and they love it, but then when it comes to real life, they can't do it. We do provide recipes, but we really try and focus on the practical skills the building blocks that enable you to take certain types of cooking and certain types of food and to do your own thing. But we do provide recipes as well. Having a mixture of the two is really important. It's important that people have the skills that give them the confidence to say, to open up their refrigerator and say, I've only got these three items, what can I do with them? And to know that they can make a simple stir fry or make a simple salad that they can make really quite delicious simply. So that gives them the confidence to really take more control over their own food intake. And it gives them a lot of encouragement, and it's the easiest and cheapest way for people to be healthy. We live in Santa Barbara County. You know, there is tons of fresh produce around here. You just need the skills to know what to do with it. Well, they teach you as a child not to play with your food. That's a mistake as far as I am concerned. Food should be a source of fun and pleasure and health, and it shouldn't be a source of worry and scarcity and feeling that the food that you're eating is actively making you unhealthy. Being more confident, and when you're confident, you can be playful, right? Then that gives you the skills that you need.
Since the recipe was done, it was time to go to the food distribution center in Oceano.
So we've set up a table next to the sign-in, and we have the recipe that we prepared earlier, as well as copies of the recipe for them to take home. There are nutrition materials. One flyer sends them to a site where there's different resources like online cooking classes and fitness tips and just healthy living tips. And then we have a little allergy warning because there is peanut butter in this recipe. We did incorporate a lot of the things that are already in their bags, and then they're also getting a dry bag that has a lot of different products like canned tomato sauce, some pasta, dried beans. They're getting 100% grape juice and a bag of rolled oats. So it's a nice little, it's almost like getting a couple bags of groceries to set you up for a few days at least.
I just realized I forgot the cilantro, which is it's what catches their eye, and it's a nice little garnish and topper for it. And so now we have it. Crisis averted. Maybe this, and I'll go with the recipe, and we'll actually go into the line because I think some of these folks are holding their place, so we'll go to them while they're waiting.
Hola, buenas tardes. Aquí le probaré una receta con espagueti y crema de cacahuate, similar con fideos asiáticos. Si gustan probar, you want to try? Contiene crema de cacahuate, no tiene alergias, so...
Okay.
Y aquí es la receta.
Gracias.
De nada.
She wants to try it.
¿Quiere probar? De nada y la receta.
Ok, gracias.
¿Quiere una prueba? No, ¿tienes? Ok.
Would you like to try?
It tastes great. Yeah, delicious.
Will you make the recipe?
Yeah, it tastes a noodle with peanut butter. And first, yeah, I can do that. I can cook this, yeah. It's great.
This is a really great thing that you've got going here, and a lot of positive reactions to your Asian noodles with peanut sauce. It's really great. I hope that everyone goes home and makes it.
We've had a lot of fun hanging out with you today, and thanks for coming out, both to our kitchen and here to our distribution site.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Creating recipes for the food bank clients is nowhere near as dramatic as the Food Network TV show Chopped.
So, whose dish is on the chopping block?
But it is critical for helping people combat food insecurity through education and skills development, not just handouts. And the results are more rewarding than a reality TV show because these results are reality. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.